This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
Now Ibn Qudama goes into a quick listing of what is arkan and what is wajibat. And inshallah, we will just quickly go over them. And again, remember, this class is not comparative fiqh. If I were to do comparative fiqh, this topic of arkan and wajibat would literally take 5 or 6 weeks. Because we would have to go into which madhab says it, which madhab doesn't, why. And that is beyond the scope right now. For now, the beginning student must memorize one madhab to make life easy, just to know and be consistent with this madhab. Then later on, once you want to do advanced, if anybody wants to, then you go and you study who says what and what not. For now, you need one madhab to basically be consistent. So, what are the arkan and what are the wajibat? And remember, the difference between a rukun and a wajib is very simple. A rukun cannot be made up. If you miss a rukun, you have to go back to where you missed the rukun and start your salah from there again. There's nothing you can do to make up a rukun. So, if you missed a rukun, so suppose you missed a rukun in the second rak'ah. There's a 4 rak'ah salah, imagine. And in the second rak'ah, you missed a rukun. Now, one of the arkan we'll study is the sajda. Okay? Suppose in the second rak'ah, instead of sajda, you forgot and you stood up. And you didn't even do the sajda. Suppose, I'm just saying. And you remembered in the 4th rak'ah, oh, I forgot the sajda of the 2nd rak'ah. You cannot do anything other than to go back. It's as if you didn't pray 2 and 3 and 4. And you go back to where you missed the rukun. Right then and there. You don't say a new takbir. Right then and there, you go back to where you missed the rukun and then you continue. No, you don't start all over. You've prayed 1 rak'ah. You prayed 1 rak'ah. This is if you're in the salah. If you're not in the salah, then yes, you start all over. We'll get to that next lesson about sajda, sahu, and whatnot. But the point is, if you had missed a wajib, the salah goes on. No, alone. In jama'ah, whatever you miss, the imam will make tahammul for you in jama'ah. That as long as you didn't miss a whole rak'ah, if you miss something inside, the imam will make tahammul. He will carry your mistake. Okay. But if you're praying by your own, then the arkan cannot be made up. The wajibat can be made up with sajdat sahu. You do not perform sajdat sahu for arkan. You do not perform sajdat sahu for arkan. Because arkan are a necessary requirement. Now, no questions about sajdat sahu. That will be next class. All of sajdat sahu is next class. So I'm just, but for now, just know one thing. The wajibat, if you accidentally miss, you can make up with sajdat sahu. The arkan, if you accidentally miss, you have to go back. You cannot make it up. Both wajibat and arkan share one thing in common. And that is, you're not allowed to intentionally miss them. Okay? So if you intentionally miss the wajibat or arkan, then your salah is not valid. It is batil. Your salah is batil. If you intentionally miss a rukun or a wajib, tough luck. Your salah is batil. But unintentionally, there's a difference. And that is, the wajib can be made up with sajda sahu, and the rukun cannot be made up with the sajda sahu. So what are the arkan of salah? What are the primary arkan of salah? So he says, arkanuha ithna ashar. There are 12 arkan of salah. Arkanuha ithna ashar. There are 12 arkan of salah. What are they? So this is just a simple list, and we have to memorize them. We will not go into the details of each one. Just one simple point. The details, or the evidences, I should say, the evidences, why do the Hanbali say that the arkan are these 12? They extract all of these arkan from the hadith of the one who prayed badly. Okay? Just put that in mind. They extract these arkan from the hadith of the one who prayed badly. So they consider this hadith to be the basis of extracting the arkan of salah. So what are the 12 arkan? Very simple list. Number one, al-qiyam, standing up. Standing up. Now one should add here that it is a rukun, but there is an exception for the one who's not able to stand. So if there's a medical reason, then it doesn't become a rukun anymore. So the one who is invalid, obviously, or the one who is very feeble and sick, for example, right? So it is not necessary then to stand. Otherwise, the one who is healthy, it is a rukun to stand for the fard salah. We already mentioned that for the nafil and sunnah, in safar, one can sit down. But in safar, for the fard salah, you must stand. We already mentioned before that when you're in a journey, in the nafil salah, in the sunnah salah, you can sit down and pray. But for the fard, you must stand. It is a rukun. So number one is qiyam. Number two, takbiratul ihram. And the takbiratul ihram is the only takbira that is a rukun. There is no other takbira that is a rukun. Okay? So if you miss any other takbira, so you go down in sajda, and then you realize, oh, I forgot to say Allahu Akbar. I went, but I didn't say Allahu Akbar. Okay? This was a wajib. You can make it up with sajda sahu. It's in the next list, wajibat. But suppose you started praying and you started the Fatiha, then you realize, oh, I didn't say takbiratul ihram. You go back to the beginning, and in this case, you start from the beginning of salah because you didn't have the takbiratul ihram. Okay? So, takbiratul ihram, this is the second rukun. Qira'atul Fatiha. Okay? And it is a rukun for the one who is praying by himself. Basically, pretty much all of the madhahib agree upon this point that the one who prays by himself must recite Fatiha. And I went over briefly the controversy of your ma'moom 2 weeks ago. So the third. Number four, ruku'. You cannot miss a ruku'. If you, from qiyam, fall into sajda, you will literally have to get back up and do the ruku'. Your sajda is superfluous. It's nothing. It's as if it didn't happen. Okay? So number four, ruku'. Number five, standing up from the ruku', which is sami' Allahu liman hamidah phase. Standing up from the ruku'. Number six, sujood. And number seven, the sitting in between. So both sajdas are rukun. And you cannot have two sajdas without sitting in the middle. Correct? Because if you're not sitting in the middle, how can you have two sajdas? So the sitting in the middle also becomes a rukun. Because you need both sajdas in every rak'ah. Okay? So two sajdas and the ruku and the sitting in between the two sajdas. Number eight, الطمأنينة في هذه الأركان. You must have tama'nina. Tama'nina means what? Tama'nina means to have a level of peace, to reach a level of calmness. And this means you are not allowed to pray like the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade the prayer of the crow and the pecking of the chicken. Hadith says this, right? And the sitting of the dog. All of these are hadith. He forbade them. So what is the prayer of the crow or the pecking of the chicken? It's understood. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. This is explicitly forbidden. And this rukun is a rukun for the majority of the madhahib. Unfortunately, one of the madhahibs doesn't have it as rukun, and so in their culture, it is very common to see people very quickly up and down, up and down. That is in their madhab. But the majority of the madhahib say, tama'nina is a rukun. Which means, how do you judge tama'nina? Your bones have to be resting in the place that you are. So when you go into ruku', your bones have to rest. Then when you stand up, your bones have to rest. Then you go into sajda, your bones have to rest. Okay? So there has to be at least a second or two, the bare minimum. You cannot have tama'nina in less than a few seconds. I mean, try it yourself. Like when you're just practicing your salah, try it yourself. You cannot achieve tama'nina without, count it, 1001, 1002, at least this much is tama'nina, right? And this is also what you would need to say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la just once. And Subhan Rabbi al-Azim just once, which is the wajib as we're going to come to. Okay? So, this is, we talked about tama'nina in this. وَالتَّشَهُدِ الْأَخِيرِ. And the final tashahhud is a rukun, not the first tashahhud. Not the first tashahhud. By this, tashahhud al-akhir is meant if there are four rak'ahs or three rak'ahs, the final tashahhud means the end one. Right? So the second tashahhud, sitting down in a 3 or 4 rak'ah, is not rukun. Why? Because in an authentic hadith it is narrated that the Prophet ﷺ himself once stood up from the second rak'ah and he did not sit down. And he was informed of this and he did sajda sahu. This is clear? So when he was informed of this, and everybody does this, I have done this, all imams around the world, it is very common that you forget, you think it is the first, or the, and then you stand up. So in this case, he did not go back to the tashahhud sitting down, because this indicates, therefore, that it is not rukun. What is not rukun? The middle tashahhud in a 3 or 4 rak'ah prayer. Now obviously in a 2 rak'ah prayer, there is no middle tashahhud, in which case the tashahhud becomes the rukun. Okay? So the tashahhud is rukun, the last one. And sitting for the tashahhud is also rukun. So you cannot say the tashahhud standing. Now obviously, medical emergencies, that's a separate issue altogether. Sometimes you cannot sit down, whatever, that's a separate issue. So sitting for the tashahhud. So saying the tashahhud and sitting for the tashahhud. And at-taslimatul ula, the first taslim is rukun, not the second. The second one is sunnah. The second taslim is sunnah. So if you were just to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah and stop, your salah is valid. And the first taslim, and then the final rukun, وَتَرْتِيبُهَا عَلَى مَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ, to do it in this order is a rukun. You cannot do sajda before the ruku'. You cannot do tashahhud in the first rak'ah. There's no concept. It must be done in the right order. Okay, so these are the 12 arkan. فَهَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانِ لَا تَتِمُّ الصَّلَاةُ إِلَّا بِهَا. These are the arkan, and the salah will not be completed without them. So memorize these simple arkan, and in fact, they are the outward, basically, prayer rituals, right? So standing up, saying Allahu Akbar, doing the Fatiha, the ruku', the qiyam, the two sajdas, and the julus in between the two sajdas, right? And then the tashahhud, the last tashahhud, al-akhir, and sitting down for those tashahhud, and then the taslim, and then doing it in this order, and then doing it calmly. It's very simple. If you think about it, all of this is from the arkan. And what are the wajibat? The wajibat are 7. 7 wajibat. Number 1, at-takbiru ghayra takbiratil ihram. All of the other takbirs besides the takbiratil ihram. Okay, so to say Allahu Akbar as you move from one position to another is wajib, it is not rukun. So if you say it, you have done the wajib. If you accidentally, and again it has to be accidental, because to intentionally not do the wajibat is to make the salah batil. To intentionally not do the wajibat is to make the salah batil. So other takbiras other than takbirat ihram, number 1. Number 2, التسبيح في الركوع والسجود مرة مرة. To say at least one سبحان ربي الأعلى and سبحان ربي العظيم in the ركوع and the سجود. At least one is wajib. You cannot leave it intentionally or else it is batil. If you leave it accidentally, you may make it up with سجدة السهو. So the rukun is the posture. And to say is wajib. Is that clear? The rukun is to be in ruku'. And to say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la and Subhan Rabbi al-Azim is wajib. Okay? And this also is because the Quran says, فَرْكَعُوا وَسْجُدُوا. Right? Allah is saying, do ruku', do sujood, it becomes rukun. And then the dhikr, it's not mentioned in the Quran, so it becomes wajib. So this is another evidence given that that is wajib and not rukun. So saying at least one time Subhan Rabbi al-A'la and Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. وَالتَّسْمِيعُ وَالتَّحْمِيدُ فِي الرَّفْعِ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. And to say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ when you come up. So the same dhikr that you do in the ruku' and sujood, when you stand up, it's a different dhikr. So that dhikr is also wajib. Now the Hanbalis have وَقَوْلُ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ. This is only the Hanbali madhab. Between the two sajdas, to say that dhikr, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli. Okay? The other madhab, you can remain silent. It's okay. Or it's mustahab, it's sunnah, it's not wajib. The Hanbalis are the strictest here because they reason, this is qiyas, that Just like all of the postures have something wajib to say, think about it. The ruku' you have to say, the sujood you have to say, standing up you have to say. So then why don't you have something to say in between? Right? And they take the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he would say, Rabbi ghfirli, between the two sajdas, and say, that's what you have to say. So that's their madhab. And, you know, nothing wrong. We should just put it, make it a part of our habit. Between the two sajdas, say, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli. So this is wajib for the Hanbalis. And التشهد الأول والجلوس له. The first tashahud. And sitting for the first tashahud, this is wajib. So if you stand up in the two raka'ah prayer, sorry, in the four raka'ah or three raka'ah prayer, you stand up in the second raka'ah, you do not have to sit back down. In fact, you should not sit back down. If you've gotten up and you've gotten to the rukun, because standing is a rukun, once you get to the next rukun, you don't go back to the previous rukun. Because that would actually be invalid. You would be complicating the salah even more. Why? Because the rukuns have to be in tartib. We just mentioned that. So once you've got to the next rukun, you cannot go back to the previous rukun. You're actually complicating your salah. You need to move on. Unless you didn't do a previous rukun, which we already said. If you haven't done the previous rukun, then you go back. Because your arkan haven't been done. But if you missed a wajib, then you continue on. So, simple example. When you are in the three raka'ah prayer, it's the second raka'ah, you stand up. While you're standing, and before you get to the full standing posture, you remember, oh, it's the second raka'ah. You haven't arrived at the rukun of qiyam. So immediately you sit down. Because you have not arrived at the rukun. Because what is the rukun? Qiyam. You have to qiyam, that's the rukun. You haven't qiyam yet. You're still getting up. Even if you're halfway there, three quarters there. If you haven't actually stood up with your back straight, once your back is straight, khalas, you have reached the rukun. And you missed the wajib. So now, you move on. And then we'll talk next week about sajda sahu. You make up with sajda. So, the tashahud al-awwal wal-julus lahu. Was-salatu ala nabi sasam fi tashahud al-akhir. The salah Ibrahimiyya is not a rukun. In any circumstance. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama salli ta Ibrahim. It's never a rukun. It is a wajib. What is the rukun? At-tashahud. At-tahiyyatu lillah. That is the rukun. But the Salah Ibrahimiyya is a wajib. So the one who forgets it, again, wajib means you can never be lazy. If you leave the wajib out of laziness, the Salah is batil. Because it is wajib. But if you forget, and you just say the tashahud and then the taslim, then you may make it up with sajda sahu. Okay? So the Salah Ibrahimiyya is wajib, it is not rukun. So these are the seven wajibat. Once again, all the takbirs other than takbiratul ihram, tasbih and the sujood and the ruku', the tasmi' and the tahmid when you stand up from the ruku', and rabbi ghfirli in between the two sajdas, the first tashahud, sitting for the first tashahud, and the salah ibrahimiyya in the last tashahud, whenever that is. These are the seven wajibat. فَهَذِهِ إِن تَرَكَهَا عَمْدًا بَطَلَتْ. If he leaves these intentionally, the salah is batil. بطل صلاته وإن تركها سهوا سجد لها. And if he leaves these accidentally, then he may do sajda for them. وما عدا هذا. And as for other than this, all the rest that we've mentioned, فسنن. Sunan. All the rest are sunan. So, for example, what is sunan? To say Subhan Rabbil A'la three times. This is sunnah. Okay? To say the longer phrase, Allahumma Rabbana laka alhamdu, mil as-samawati, the whole thing. The wajib is to say, Rabbana wa laka alhamdu. Sami Allah bin Hamid, Rabbana wa laka alhamdu. That's the wajib. Sunnah, to say it much more than this. Okay? The sunnah, qira'ah other than fatiha. So the qira'ah other than fatiha is never wajib, even in the first two rak'ahs. It is not wajib. You may intentionally leave it. And you've fallen short of the sunnah, but your salah is valid. Okay? So the as well, There's a controversy even amongst the Hanbalis, by the way, about Salah Jahriya and Sirriya if you mess up. So if in Fajr you recite it quietly, is it Sunnah or is it Wajib to recite out loud? There's an ikhtilaf amongst even the Hanbalis. Ibn Qudama does not consider it Wajib. It's not in his list. But another strand of the Hanbali school says, Fajr and Maghrib and Isha, obviously, are wajib to make jahar of. Which means if you forget, you do sunnah. You do sajda sahu, right? But according to Ibn Qudama's, and this is one strand within the Hanbali school, it is not wajib. So in any case, it's always best to be on the safe side. In case you prayed Fajr without doing it out loud, this is a mistake. Because Fajr and Maghrib and Isha should be prayed out loud even when you're alone. And this is a common mistake. A lot of people make it, that when they're praying Fajr on their own, or Maghrib or Isha on their own, they just stay quiet. And even if it is Sunnah, it is still Sunnah. And Ibn Qudama says it's Sunnah, for example, right? But it's still Sunnah, which means you should, don't make it a habit. Put it into your routine that you're going to say Fajr and Maghrib and Isha out loud. So he says the rest of these things are Sunan. لا تبطل الصلاة بتركها. The salah will not become invalid if a person leaves these sunan. ولا يجب السجود لسهوها. And if he accidentally misses them, there is no need for a sajda. Even if he messes up in these sunan, there is no need for a sajda. And pretty much by unanimous consensus of the ulama, you do not do sajda sahu for sunnah, missing a sunnah. Sajda sahu is linked to only one category, and that is wajib. You don't do sajda sahu for sunnahs. And if you missed a rukun, you can't make it up with sajda sahu. You have to go back and do the rukun. So the concept of making up a rukun with sajda is also nonsensical. So there, and this, with this we conclude inshallah ta'ala. So the salah is composed of three things: rukun, wajibat, and sunan. And we went over in detail the entire description of the salah. Then we mentioned the 12 arkan and the 7 wajibat, and the rest are all sunan. The 12 arkan and the 7 wajibat, and the rest are all sunan. And as for the arkan, then there is no salah without them, regardless of whether they were intentionally forgotten or unintentionally. And as for the wajibat, then you are forgiven for unintentionally leaving them, but you are not forgiven for intentionally leaving them. And inshallah, next Tuesday, we will do the very complicated topic of sajdat sahu. And sajdat sahu is one of the most complicated topics out of all of the madhahibs, because there is no unanimity. All the madhahibs have their own philosophies about sajdat sahu, and each one has various ways out and whatnot. In fact, there are entire dissertations written in modern fiqh colleges about sajdat sahu, because that's how complicated it is. When do you do it? For what circumstances? Before, after the taslim? How is it performed? There are so many ahadith in this regard, and there doesn't seem to be any one simple way out. But inshallah, that's why it is healthy to study one madhab. Because it saves you all of the hassle of doing your own research. You just follow one madhab for the time being. And you just follow one position, and then inshallah ta'ala, if you want to do further research, you go to the other mazahib. But for now, next Tuesday, we'll go over the simple procedure for Hanbali school. And stick with it, and you will inshallah ta'ala be safe, inshallah. Any quick questions before we break for Isha? Yes. Yes, we will get to this point on next week. There is the position that you make sajda sahu for the mistake of adding intermediate arkan, but not for the mistake of missing the rukun that you missed. We'll talk about that. So let's leave sajda sahu for now, because I don't want to confuse you. That's next Tuesday, inshallah. Okay? Yes, in the back, go ahead. That's not sitting like a dog. Sitting like a dog is to sit on your behind with your hands in between your thighs. Nobody sits like that. Okay? Nobody prays like that, alhamdulillah. So that's not the prohibition of sitting like a dog, by the way. The prohibition of sitting like a dog, as I said, imagine how a dog sits, right? With the paws in front and the behind is on the floor. This is what the prohibition is. And nobody in the world prays like that, alhamdulillah. As for the elbows touching the floor, this would not be something that is good in the Hanbali school. I am not an expert in the Hanafi school, so I will have to look it up. I will have to look it up. What do the Hanafi say about women's elbows touching the floor? But the Hanbali school, definitely, that they would encourage the woman to have her elbows close to the body, but not touching the floor. Okay. Yes, they have to read it loud. But what does loud mean? So that you can hear. Even men is the same. Even men is the same. By loud, we don't mean you scream to the top of your lungs. What does loud mean? It means you can hear it yourself in a manner that is semi-audible. And sirriya means it's almost a whisper. So sirriya, even in front of the mic right now, you would not really fully understand. This is sirriya. That it's a whisper that I can hear. Loud, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. This is loud. Simple as that. So loud doesn't mean your lungs are, mashallah, that's not never a requirement. And especially for women, it's not going to be a requirement. Okay? You have a hand raised over here. Yes, go ahead. اللهم اني اعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. Yes, you should say that before the taslim and after the tashahud. Okay, inshallah. Final question, Sister Gloria. Yes. Yes, it is sunnah to recite surahs after the Fatiha in the first two rak'at. Yes. It is not wajib, it is not rukun. It is sunnah, which means you should. But in case you didn't, the salah is valid. And you do not need to do? Not in the Hanbali madhab, no. Not in the Hanbali madhab. The salah, the only rukun of qira'ah is the Fatiha. There is no wajibat of the qira'ah. Okay, I do not know what the other madhab say about this. I remember one of them says that recitation in the first two is wajib. That's the Shafi'is? I'll have to look up. It's not wajib? What did you do? No, but is it wajib or not? I don't think it's wajib. I don't think it's wajib. Okay. The Hanbalis, definitely it's not wajib. It's not even, it's a sunnah to do, inshallah. Okay. فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلي